Musgrave on board.
This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. We were talking a little bit before we went on the air with the guys in the control room. Next weekend, Saratoga. Obviously, the track doesn't open until the 15th, but we will get a little bit of a head start. So it comes fast, baby. And every year it comes fast after the Belmont Stakes. And when they run the Belmont as they did this year, it comes even faster after the Belmont Stakes. So we're looking forward to being up there and bringing you some Saratoga action live from our backstretch set. I was up yesterday checking out the set, which is, being put together as it is normally this time of year. So we're looking forward to heading up there. On today's show, our friend Brian Addo will join us a little bit later on. We'll talk a little Saratoga action with him. He'll have the Saturday morning show as usual. Also, this morning, about 10:40, we'll have the Epsom Oaks. A little later on, we'll have the Epsom Derby. And Brian writes notes for the Breeders' Cup, and so he looks at a lot of the overseas races. So I thought maybe we'd touch on the Derby. We'll watch the Oaks, and then we'll have a few minutes at the end of the show after that, so maybe we'll preview the Derby a little bit with Brian, and also, again, talk a little bit about the Saratoga action. And then also going to be joined today by David Aragona, Naira Morning Line odds maker, also Timeform USA and Daily Racing Form. We'll talk with David a little bit about the Great Stakes action coming up today at Belmont, but Great Stakes action as well at Delaware Park this afternoon. Their meet has pretty much just gotten underway, so I thought we'd do a little preview of that and talk some of the stakes action for Saturday with our friend Chris Obasinski from Delaware Park. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. I can't tell you how happy I am to be talking to you today.
Very good.
There was a time back in March and April where I wasn't too sure about any of it.
And I've been asking everybody, how'd you make it through the quarantine and lockdown period? And I've also, as an aside, been saying to everybody, come on, you played a little Fauna, right?
Well, I made it through the quarantine okay, and I think a lot of people here in Delaware did. So we're just thankful that we have a great day of racing ahead of us, and it makes you appreciate it even more after going through all that stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm right with you. I mean, there was a period there late March, I guess it was, where it seemed like maybe we won't have racing at all. But racing chugged along, and really over the past, 3 weeks or so, it's kind of gotten back to some sense of normalcy. Part of that, Delaware Park underway. So just for, for folks our area, it's a day trip, or if folks are maybe driving to somewhere else down in that area, I like Delaware Park. I visited a couple of times, really nice little track. I like betting Delaware. For Saratoga folks, there are trainers and names they'll be familiar with, but just give us a little overview of what's the schedule like. And currently right now there is limited fans available to go on track, right?
Yes, there is. Fortunately for us, we opened on June 17th, and when we opened, we were allowed reduced capacity of fans for live racing fans, which Delaware Park without live racing fans, I mean, and having live racing fans at any racetrack is tough, but at Delaware Park, it's a big thing that makes the Delaware Park racing so special. So it was really nice to see fans out that day. And one thing I'm never going to forget from that experience from that day, everybody was so happy to be here and to be doing what we're doing. I've never seen so many happy people on a racetrack. Even the losers were happy. And even some of the patrons that never have anything good to say to me were bubbling with joy. It was an odd day at the racetrack, but it was a great day, and it was a fun day.
Yeah, that is good. What's the schedule like at this point?
Thank you. Well, obviously, we got our big race day today. We got the Delaware, and then 1 week from today, we have another big race day. We have the Delaware Handicap and the Robert G. Dick. So we're looking forward to that. And then in later September, we're going to have our, I think it's our 27th Owner's Day that we're pretty excited about, where we have really nice cards and big fields as well. So those are probably the three big race days we're looking forward to. And October 17th is when we're going to be closing. We'll be racing Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and we'll be picking up Thursdays, I believe the Thursday after Delcap Day.
Very good.
Which I think is July 16th.
Yeah,
so,
and you're part of a Monday schedule now that's kind of fun. And I, as I say, I like Delaware, so to have them on Mondays is nice. And I was looking at your website yesterday, and normally you guys have a kind of a robust, I don't know, that may be the word, schedule of handicapping contest. It looks like maybe you're on a little bit of a hiatus there.
Yeah, well, I actually got a good person for that because I'm the person that runs them. And I am anticipating, if everything goes the way I'm hoping with the COVID-19 and the restrictions and all that, to maybe start scheduling some handicapping contests later in the year, like October and even November. And if things really go well, maybe September. But right now, I'm just waiting until we have a better understanding of what we can expect.
So that's just kind of a check the website kind of a thing.
Yeah, keep checking the website.
Yeah, because like I say, you usually have a nice schedule, and I know contests have become more and more popular, certainly. So, and as I say, you guys are like a day trip from up here in the Capital District in New York, and so I'm sure a lot of people have taken advantage of that.
And our contests are not too big, but they're fun.
Yeah.
And we get a good group of handicappers to get in them, and it's a neat little day, and it's a neat little contest.
Yeah, as I say, I like Delaware, and so if folks are thinking about that, keep it in mind. Check the website as the season progresses. All right, let's talk a little bit about you're a couple of weeks into the meet, and let's talk a little bit about the human side of things, jockeys and trainers, and I guess the top of the jockeys list, and I think we have a shot of her, Carol Cedeno. Boy, if there's a jockey, and it seems like every once in a while, it used to be Russell Bays in Northern California. It seems like there are certain jockeys that just really flourish at certain racetracks, and Carol Cedeno certainly teams up nicely with Delaware Park, and she is off to a great start at the meet. Talk again a little bit about Jockeys Colony and the trainers this year at Delaware.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about Carol. She fits Delaware so well, and Delaware fits her so well. It's a great combination. Last Saturday, she had 5 wins on a card. I think it was a 9-race card. And then even last year, she set the record for most wins on a card, which was 7, which is a record that stood for like 60 years. And some of the names that she actually surpassed were like Elda Nelson, Mike McCarthy. It's just a litany of a who's who and jockeys for Delaware Park. And she really is, you know, putting her stamp on things here at Delaware Park. Just not every year, but her legacy, and it's a special thing to watch. Watch from the press box. A couple of other jockeys, Trevor McCarthy, he's been riding here a lot, and I really expect him to have a big, big day today. He's got mounts for Christoph Clement, Mike Stidham. He's going to be on the morning line favorite in the Kent Stakes aboard GoFu. So keep an eye on Trevor McCarthy today. Another neat thing about Trevor is he was actually raised in Delaware. He graduated from a local high school here, AI DuPont, and obviously his dad. When you see him ride, you feel like you're going back in time because he rides exactly like his dad. I mean, when I watch him ride, I feel like I'm 30 pounds lighter and 25 years younger.
Very good. And it's certainly, folks, yeah, my age as well, remember his dad. So that's kind of fun. On the trainer side, I'm looking down the list. There's a lot of familiar names on the trainer side as well that people will certainly recognize.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about the trainers as well. I mean, we got our normal mix of the core people we normally get, Jamie Ness, Tim Ritchie, Scott Lake, and of course Delacour will be shipping in from Fairhill. But the other neat thing too is we've got some old names back that were a part of Delaware Park Racing that decided to come back this year. And the two biggest are Macklin Robertson, who's got 60 horses here, and Steve Glaceris, who has 30. So we got a really, really good mix of trainers. Not only that, but the trainers that chip in too. I do the morning line odds here at Delaware Park, and it can be so frustrating. I mean, I know I have some races where I'm all over the board, but there's a reason why. It's because Delaware Park's so centrally located, we get hit from every place. And in any given day, you could have so many big names mixing in with some of the hard hitters we have here at Delaware Park. And it can be a challenging and exciting place to handicap because of all of that.
Yeah, I do not envy that morning line job. That's one of the toughest jobs on the racetrack.
And you know what? Doing here at Delaware is tough because, like I said, but I've got thick skin. So I've been doing it a while, so I don't let – when I have a bad race, I'll admit it.
Yeah, and as you say, it's also doubly tough when you're at a track where there's a lot of the ship-ins because you just – you don't – the morning line, you're trying to predict what the betting public is going to do, and a lot of times with those ship-ins, it's hard to read their mind.
Yeah, and this year was particularly tough. On June 17th, opening day, my head's still spinning from that day. I mean, we had jockeys coming from all over the place, and we had trainers coming from all over the place. It was a great card to handicap. Now, I probably only got maybe half the races right, but I was happy I only got half the races right because it's an indication how great that card was.
Yeah, as a morning line odds maker, that's a great question. As a morning line odds maker, do you watch the day, and as they load into the gate, do you look and think, oh, I scored there?
Oh, I do that every race. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? They're right. The betting public got it right. I got it wrong. And there are other times where I'm thinking, I don't see what's going on here with what the betting public's doing. And then I get a little frustrated and mad. Then sometimes I actually double my bets. And sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. Most of the time after the race, I realized the betting public was right and I was wrong, though.
Yeah, I do the handicapping show in the afternoon, and I'm in the same boat a lot of times. I'm thinking, I don't know where they're going on this one. And more often than not, the combined mentality of a group of people has it over me most of the time. Although when you have it right and that beat the betting public, that's a nice feeling, too. All right, let's talk a little bit about this afternoon. First, before we talk specifically, what's the weather look like today?
Oh, we have a great day for racing. Our main track's fast, the turf is firm, the sun is out. I was told there's a chance of thunderstorms and showers, but I think that's fake news.
That's what we like to hear. All right, let's run through the stakes action and just give a little preview to folks. Sixth race today at Delaware, the Christiana. They're on the grass at a mile and a 16th. This is a fun race. Steve Asmussen has a runner in here coming in from Oaklawn. That's an angle I like, but coming in from Oaklawn also means dirt. Turf, moving to turf this afternoon. So Kiss the Girl is a little bit interesting. Arnold Delacour has Correctness, who's on a string of improving buyers. Graham Motion, Duchess of Sussex, Trickle In for Mike Stidham. I pulled up, though, a replay of a maiden special weight race down at Tampa on May 27th. This will be Pure Rhythm. She's going to be the number two horse in here and gets it done by a chart margin of 11 lengths. Again, compared to some of the other horses, she's maybe lacking a little bit of experience and certainly stakes experience. But boy, this was a pretty good performance. You ever at 8-1 on the morning line, I wouldn't argue with that because this was a maiden special event and she's stepping into stakes company this afternoon. But Pure Rhythm, interesting to me. What are your thoughts on the Christiana?
Oh, well, this is another race like I was talking about. I mean, if you do the morning line odds, where do you start? I mean, the rail horse is trained by Trombetta and ridden by Carol Stania. And then you go down to the two horse, Fergal Lynch and Mike Stidham. And then Pure Rhythm, 11-length maiden winner, impressive winner, trained by Stidham and ridden by Jersey Joe. And then you got Trickle In with Stidham and McCarthy. So it's a really wide open race. And when you have a wide open race like that, sometimes morning line odds guy can be wrong. The thing I noticed about Pure Rhythm, I love the horse's breeding. Hard Spun, who broke his maiden here at Delaware Park and out of Danzig. The horse I'm leaning towards is another Stidham horse, Trickle In, ridden by Michael McCarthy. I just like the fact that he's got a little bit more seasoning under his belt. So I'm leaning Trickle In, and I also like the Delacour Horse, Correctness, because Delacour is always dangerous in these stakes races here at Delaware Park.
Yeah, I cannot argue. It's very, very interesting addition to the Christiana. The Delaware Oaks Grade 3 event, race 8 this afternoon, $300,000 to three-year-old fillies. And I pulled up the replay of the Gardenia down at Oak Lawn, and we have the 1-2 finishers in that race coming back. It looks like it's going to go through either Piece of My Heart. She's going to be the winner here, the number 2 or number 8 Comical for Steve Asmussen. And again, they finished 1-2 in this Oak Lawn stake. Hopeful growth at a little bit of a price may be interesting, though, with only three races under the belt. Nice improving numbers in all three. What are your thoughts in the Oaks?
I'm with you 100%. I think it's going to be a replay of the Gardenia. I spoke to Mac Robertson. He said Piece of My Heart is really training well over the Delaware Park surface. This will be her first attempt at Delaware Park. And she's improving. He said she really got good at Oak Lawn, and it just seems like she's building that momentum when she's here at Delaware Park. One thing I'm concerned about, though, is just the fact that Comical cut into that lead a little bit on Piece of My Heart. And I haven't had the benefit of actually watching that race on video, so I haven't had the opportunity to see what it looks like. But I'm just worried maybe a little bit different pace scenario. Maybe Piece of My Heart might be susceptible to Comical in this race. And another horse I keep looking at, and I'm worried I might have made a mistake with the morning line odds on Green Maria. I have 4-1 ridden by Joe Bravo. She did run third in the Grade 2 Devona Dale. So she could be a player in this race.
Yeah, I'm looking at the third to Tonalist Shape 2 back is kind of interesting. But you might be right on the morning line just because that last race is going to darken her form a little bit, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. All right, let's move on to the Kent, wrapping up the stakes action, the Kent race number 9. I say it all the time. I love this subdivision of three-year-olds on the turf. I think there are races all around the country that kind of play into this, and it's competitive every year. I say every year. Last year it was a little bit there weren't as many standouts as normal years. This year I think it's shaping up nicely, though. The Kent is one of those three-year-old turf stakes races that plays into this scenario. Grade 3 event, $125,000, mile and an eighth on the grass for the three-year-olds. And you mentioned this one before with Trevor McCarthy on board this afternoon. Gufo in the English Channel back on May 2nd down at the Gulfstream Park, going to be the number 4 horse here. This was only the 4th career start. Christophe Clement trains. This one looks interesting this afternoon, but there are a few different directions you can go in here.
Exactly.
And have like the same level of confidence. What were your thoughts?
Well, I keep going back to, I have Gufo's morning line favorite, but I keep going back to the 4, Bye Bye Melvin. And the big reason why is this is one of the reasons why I love trainer Graham Motion so much. He ran the horse in the Tampa Bay Derby because Bye Bye Melvin had a really good workout on the dirt, and they thought the horse might be okay on the dirt. So they tried him in the Tampa Bay Derby, and obviously it didn't work out so well. But that's what makes Graham so neat. He's willing to keep an open mind on things. He's willing to take his chances, knowing that the worst that could possibly happen is they don't do so well. But he's excited to get Bye Bye Melvin back on the turf, especially because he's a half to Mean Mary. He's won multiple graded stakes races at Gulfstream Park on the turf this year, either this year or last year. I'm getting my stats mixed up. But she is. She's proven herself on the turf, so he's excited to get her back on the grass. But obviously, I think the horse to beat in this race is Gufo, who will be closing from probably way off the pace. And another horse to keep an eye on, and I kind of like, is trained by Michael Pino, Vanzi. I like the breeding, and the trainer's always dangerous here at Delaware Park. He's Mario Pino's brother, actually. So,
oh, there you go.
And he grew up in the area.
And you mentioned Graham Motion, who seems like over the past month and a half, maybe a couple months, is on a little run as well. I always pay attention to everything over the past few weeks.
Yeah, he gets hot.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah. Chris, we absolutely appreciate the visit. We'll certainly check in again before the meet ends. Still plenty of time for that, but we appreciate the little update on the beginning of the Delaware meet, the looks at the stakes action today, and as I say, we'll talk again.
Sounds great, Seth. Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Chris Sobosinski from Delaware Park. Again, nice stakes action down there this afternoon. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, speaking of nice stakes action, a big day at Belmont Park, including the Met Mile. We'll talk all about that with David Aragona right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Apart as they move down the back stretch.
And he guides them down to the rail as the field turns for home.
A furlong to the finish.
The incomparable, invisible, unbeatable Cigar!
It's too close to call!
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Joined now by David Aragona, morning line odds maker for the New York Racing Association. You can also see him time form slash daily racing form. David, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back on.
Happy to have you on. And we talked a little bit your NYRA stint, and we'll have you take a look at some of the stakes this afternoon and give some opinions there. But I also mentioned time form slash DRF. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, I just read a new product out there that you're involved in, betting strategies. And as I understand it, The initial launch of that will be free today if people want to swing by DRF.com. But it's you and Mike Beer, and talk a little bit about the new betting strategies product.
Yeah, it's something I'm pretty excited about. I mean, I always love to work with Mike Beer because, like me, he's so passionate about New York racing and he's so invested in it. So I think the two of us could have some really insightful conversations about it. And you can check out the free preview this week. I posted the links on Twitter, so you can navigate to my Twitter page at Horse to Watch. And we just kind of go back and forth in all the races. We post the wagers. We had a discussion and put together a pick five ticket for late in the day. And we'll be continuing to do that every weekend at Saratoga. I think on Saturdays and Sundays is the current plan. And that's going to be a product that DRF puts out. So look for that. We'll release details about that next week.
Very good. And I think it's a great idea because I said, and I'm sure you agree, it seems like everybody agrees, there are two different parts to the game, handicapping and then the wagering. And you can be good at one and bad at the other and, you know, making great selections. But if you're wagering, if you're not making the right strategies, you wind up with no money at the end of the day. And it's a little bit frustrating. And a lot of the conversation that we have is based on the handicapping. So I think there's a lot of room for talking a little bit about betting and betting strategies and helping people out in that area as well.
And I think the best way to learn about betting is to have a conversation with somebody you respect whose opinion might be a little different, because sometimes you can take too narrow of a view of things and get too caught up in your own methods and opinions about things. And Mike definitely disagrees with me plenty of the time. So I think the two of us can bounce ideas off each other and maybe learn stuff from each other.
Yeah, excellent. Looking forward to it. Again, DRF.com. And today's is free, right?
Yeah, today's is free. You can check out the link that I posted on Twitter. Pretty lengthy, wrote a lot of analysis, but I think there's good stuff there.
Yeah, check it out and get an idea for the product, and if you'll be interested during the Saratoga meet, which I'm sure people will. All right, let's get at some ideas for this afternoon, because a big stakes day down at Belmont, highlighted by the Met Mile. So let's jump into that right off the bat, and I think you're right with me here, because I looked at your selections on DRF. I'm going to go back and take a look at the Carter. Vekoma will be the number 11 horse here, and this was just freakish, a 110 buyer figure on the day. Castellano was on board that day. He's on board again. This, you know, the one question mark is it's maybe a little bit of a quick comeback in you know, year 2020 to turn around from the June 6th race to this July 4th Met Mile. But boy, he just seems to be in super good form right now. I put Vekoma on top, but this race is loaded. McKenzie, Code of Honor, Mr. Freeze, endorsed off a good race last time too, just behind Code of Honor in that Westchester. Give some thoughts on the Met Mile this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, you've got those three big players. As you said, I'm a fan of Vekoma, and I think the only reason that you might not like Vekoma in this race is if you just chalk that car performance up to him freaking out the slop. I think that's being a little dismissive of this horse's entire career, though, because let's remember, he ran a 97 Buyer as a two-year-old, and they just tried some things that weren't, he wasn't really suited to as a three-year-old. They tried to push towards the Kentucky Derby. I think we know at this point he's more of a one-turn mile, the seven furlong kind of horse. And they focused on what he really wants to do this year, and I just think he's rewarding them. I don't think he loved the slop in the Carter last time. I just think he was so much better than those horses. And he's probably facing he's certainly facing a tougher field in this Met Mile. But in my opinion, if he just runs back to the Carter, they all have him to beat, because I really think Code of Honor and McKenzie have to improve to top that performance. McKenzie, I'm going to take a stand against him in this race. I just don't think he's been quite the same this year. If we get back to the McKenzie that we saw in the Met Mile in Whitney last year, he's going to be a real rival for Vekoma. I just haven't seen him be quite as sharp this year. So as much as I respect what he's done in his career, I was going to take a shot against him. Code of Honor is my second pick in this race. I think he can step forward off his Westchester. That seemed like a really useful return for Shug McGahee, and he's the kind of trainer going to give a horse a run off the layoff. I would expect him to improve here. He's likely to get a good trip with some speed signed on. So I think he's very much the other horse, and I would lean pretty heavily on Vekoma and Code of Honor.
Yeah, and they're two of the four-year-olds that have kind of validated the three-year-old crop from last year. I've been saying it for the past couple of months. The early part of last season, Maximum Security kind of towered over the others. In the first half of the season, the three-year-old picture was a little up in the air. As we got to the second half of the season, three-year-olds started to come to the forefront, and they have validated that now as four-year-olds. And these are two of those, Vekoma and Code of Honor, in the Met Mile this afternoon. And before we move on to the poker, speaking of three-year-olds, what did you think of Tiz de Law in the Belmont Stakes?
Oh, I mean, you know, he did what he was supposed to do, and if and nothing else, he's the most consistent three-year-old that we have out there, because he just shows up every time. They've really schooled him well. He's able to utilize his versatile running style, and that's not the toughest field he's going to have to face this year, but he did it the right way, and you've got to say that he's at the top of the division right now.
Yeah, no question about it, and it's going to be interesting to see how this whole scenario plays out over the next couple of months with the reconfigured Triple Crown series. All right, let's go back a little bit earlier on the card this afternoon at Belmont. The poker, grade three event, a mile on the turf. This is always one of the fun races of the year. I think you can make cases in just a few different directions in here. I'm going to take a shot with Got Stormy. I liked her, obviously, last year. She may just not be living up to that. Certainly off the last effort, you have to scratch your head a little bit. But I'm gonna kind of draw a line through that and hope we get a rebound from Got Stormy. That is a big question mark, however. You, it looks like, are leaning towards Seismic Wave. I'd love to hear you talk about this a little bit. Seismic Wave is going to run fourth in this replay. We're looking at the first defense. Seismic Wave is going to be the number 7 horse. The winner will be Therapist, the number 14. This is a big closing effort for Seismic Wave here. Was sitting way in the back of the pack, gets up late to be fourth, but only beaten a length. I could have made cases for this one as well, but I'll let you do it. As I say, I'm going to roll the dice a little bit with Got Stormy, but talk a little bit about your thoughts in the poker.
Yeah, so I'm fully aware that Seismic Wave is going to need a little bit of help to win this race, because his three-year-old performances are not quite fast enough, and he typically is a horse that needs some pace to close into because he comes from so far back, and we'll see if he can improve, and we'll see how much speed there ends up being in this race. I just thought, as I looked at this poker, this might end up being a weaker field than I initially thought, because personally, I mean, I respect people who think that Got Stormy can bounce back here. I just don't think it's going to happen. I haven't liked what I've seen from her this year, and Chad Brown's got those two other short prices, Value Proposition and Valid Point. Value Proposition, I get him. He ran well last time. This is a tougher spot. Valid Point, he's got to improve off his three-year-old figures. I just thought maybe this race wouldn't be quite as tough as some people believe, and Seismic Wave second off the layout here, maybe he could take a step forward off that first defense, where he actually closed pretty well to be fourth going to seven furlongs. I think the one-turn mile is a really good distance for him, because as a three-year-old, they tried to get him to go a mile and 3/16, a mile and a quarter in races like the Belmont Derby and Saratoga Derby. I think that just dulled his late kick, and he wasn't really able to be effective late in those races. I think turning back really intensifies that finishing speed that he has, so I'm hoping he can produce it here going the mile distance, and we'll see how much pace he gets to close into.
What do you make of Social Paranoia? Because like God Stormy, the last race you're going to have to draw a line through, but I thought he had the opportunity to bounce back, picks up Jose Ortiz as well.
You know, I don't know what to make of his Fort Marcy last time, because that was a bad effort, but that was a race where a horse, his reins broke and the rider had to let him run off, and I think it made a much faster pace than we had anticipated, and Social Paranoia was kind of in an awkward spot, a little maybe too close to that pace. He was more effective coming from way back at Gulfstream over the winter. I just wonder how strong those fields were at Gulfstream, and I could use him in this race. I just preferred others on top.
All right, let's move out to the end of the card, the Suburban. That'll be the 11th race this afternoon. Grade 2 event, couple $100,000, a mile and a quarter. I have to admit, I didn't quite know what to do in here, so I landed on Tacitus. I have not been as big a fan of Tacitus as some people, but certainly this horse has shown some promise throughout the career and just kind of hasn't lived up to it. I just went back and forth and back and forth. And the horse I think you like, I debated about quite a bit, Mr. Buff. But stepping out of State Bred Company, I wasn't quite sure. We're going to take a look at the Haynesfield back on February 22nd. This was a 106 buyer performance. Wins by a chart margin of, 20 lengths. But the follow-up last time was a little bit of a head-scratcher. Ran second in the commentator, again against State Breds. The one bonus, and, you know, these days we don't look at it as closely as when I first got into the game, but he's getting a significant amount of weight off from the last couple of races. Carried 124, and the race we're looking at right now, the Haynesfield, he carried 127 last time. He'll have 118 this afternoon. So I have Mr. Buff right underneath, but I put Tacitus on top. And as I say, it's a tepid pick. What are your thoughts on the Suburban?
Yeah, Tacitus is a pretty polarizing horse. I know a lot of people just think he doesn't want to win races, and some think he's had excuses just about every time. I kind of sit somewhere between those two camps. I think he did have some legitimate excuses in races like the Belmont and the Jim Dandy. But he did kind of squander some opportunities later in the year, like in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. He just was third best that day. And, you know, you want to see these three-year-olds take a step forward from their three-year-old year to their four-year-old year, like we've seen from Vekoma. And we just haven't gotten that from Tacitus yet. I mean, in my opinion, if he's going to be a strong favorite in this race, he was supposed to run better last time against a similar field in the Oaklawn Handicap. So I'm a little bit on the fence about Tacitus. In some ways, he's probably the horse to beat because he's the proven class horse in this race. I just wanted to take a shot against him if he's going to be the favorite. And Mr. Buff, I guess he'll be the second choice. I'm a big fan of Mr. Buff. I admit that. It's just really easy to root for this New York bred who just... He's a big fish in a small pond most of the time because he's just better than most of those New York breds, especially going distances of a mile and an eighth. He did run that big effort going a mile in the Haynesfield two back, but that was really a function of the competition he was facing. I do think he's better going longer distances, and while he's never tried a mile and a quarter, just given his overall size and scope, I think it's going to be right up his alley. And while you might be disappointed that he lost the commentator last time as the heavy favorite, like you said, that was a handicap. He was carrying a lot of weight that day. And furthermore, he didn't make the early lead. And I don't think anybody was expecting Funny Guy to step up and win that race with a 101 buyer. So it just turned out to be a much stronger race than I think we had anticipated going in. This time, I don't see any speed that can really go with Mr. Buff early. And I think Junior Alvarado is just going to let him go, kind of like Diversify did in this race a few years ago. And I believe he can wire the field.
Yeah, and what do you make of Sir Winston? I mean, we're talking about the horse that won the Belmont Stakes last year. But, boy, the last race, and I'm talking buyers more than performance. I mean, it was a second place last time. But the buyer was a little light. Two back, won the race. But, again, buyer-wise. And then the turf experiment, three back. I'm just I talked about the three-year-olds from last year who moved into the four-year-old season have done so well. I think Sir Winston, to me, has gone the other direction.
I have a different take. I think Mr. Winston, or Sir Winston, rather, is a horse that just takes some time to kind of rev up. He's He showed nothing on the turf in his return off the layoff at Fairgrounds, but then having that race under his belt, he was so much sharper at Aqueduct in January. I really liked that performance going a mile in that optional claimer, even though that's a distance that's probably too short for him. And then last time out in the flat out, again, he was coming off a layoff. Mark Cassidy had actually shipped him over to Dubai and back. He didn't get to run the Dubai World Cup because they canceled that race. So I just think Sir Winston had a right to maybe need that return in the flat out, and I would expect him to be much sharper in this Suburban. He's going to probably have to run a career-best performance to beat both Tacitus and Mr. Buff, but he showed real promise last year, and I think he's the kind of horse that could take a step forward in this race, and he'll probably be the third choice.
Yeah, interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch. We were talking with Chris Sobosinski earlier. He's the Morning Line odds maker at Delaware as well. And I asked him, and I'll ask you, as they go in the gate and you look up, do you take a good look at the odds and say, oh, I nailed that one? I mean, do you take some satisfaction as they go in the gate when you're, the Morning Line is right on?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. You want to mirror how the public bets the race, mirror how you set the odds. I mean, typically, right after the previous race has been run, I'll go check the double will pays to see if I'm going to be even close to what I expected it to be. But, yeah, you want to see if you've gotten it right.
Yeah, typically you do a great job. And I said to Chris, I would not want that job at all, but you do a very good job at, you know, one of the premier circuits in the country. So congratulations there. But, David, as always, appreciate the conversation on a big stakes day down at Belmont, and we'll talk again.
Sounds good. Great to be on.
David Aragon, again, check out Betting Strategies with David and Mike Beer, Daily Racing Form. Today's version is a free preview of it, so check that out, drf.com as well. All right. They're running the Epsom Oaks and the Epsom Derby today, and it looks like we're about a minute away from the Oaks. So we'll send it to the Oaks, and then we'll go from the Oaks into a commercial. And when we come back, Brian Addo will join us. And again, a little bit later on, we're still maybe an hour or so away from the Epsom Derby. I know Brian watches the international races for Breeders' Cup notes and whatnot. So maybe we'll hit a little Derby, get some Derby thoughts from Brian, but also talk a little Saratoga, because as I say, we're going to fire that up next weekend, Saratoga shows with our set live from Clare Court. Looking forward to it. But I'll just give you a little setup as we head out over to that Epsom Oaks. There is a chalky favorite in the number 5, Love, Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore, coming off a win at Newmarket on the 7th of June. A pretty convincing win. The horse was even money on the Morning Line, now 4-5. Love is the number 5 horse. These are all horses that look to have potential to run well on a best effort. Love is the horse with the most experience, 8 starts, 4 wins, a second, and a third. Only the 1 start this year at Newmarket, so 1-for-1 in the 3-year-old season. Aidan O'Brien also has the number 2 in here. You're getting 5-1 there. Second choice is 6-5, Frankly Darling, the number 3 horse. That's John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. A couple of wins and a second in 3 starts for that one. One at Royal Ascot back on June 16th, so that may be one to take a look at as well, the number 3, Frankie Darling. But again, the favorite at 4-5, the number 5 horse, Love. And as I say, if you're looking around for a price, maybe it is looking around for some kind of value, maybe it is that 2 horse from Aidan O'Brien, you know, the other Aidan O'Brien, as they say, at a current 6-1 price. So we'll they're trotting to the gate, so we'll step back and just take a listen to the overseas signal from Epsom. The Epsom Oaks coming up next, and as I say, we'll go out of that into a commercial, come back, Brian Addo, and we'll do a little conversation previewing the Epsom Derby, which is coming up a little later on this morning as well. So stay tuned. Racing across America and across the pond this morning, as it were, continues after this.
Five-three-two is the pick of the Timeform people. And well, some of these runners in behind may definitely have some potential, but they're all going to have to be at their absolute best, you feel, to touch off the front two in the market here. Love and Frankly Darling. Let's see if we can maybe find some stats that might help us. Anything that really is Top draw. Well, this is interesting for Frankly Darling, actually. The jockey on last time out, Winners on the Flat, does very well. Nearly a 32% strike rate. The trainer with last time out, Winners on the Flat, does very well as well. John Gosden, 664 attempts at it with 213 wins to show for about a 32% strike rate. Definitely not to be sneezed at. And Love certainly has a few things going for it as well. The sire form at the course and distance is good. 121 runs, 17 wins. Trainer form at the course and distance also good. 173 runs, 22 wins. Let's have a look at some of these others then. See if we can find some other bits and pieces that might help us here. Well, Aidan O'Brien, as we've touched on, is coming here in excellent form. Last 14 days, Roger Varian doing well. It's just an unbelievable race. One to sit back and enjoy. I just favour Love. I think that will do it for me. That's my own personal opinion. Time form Gold Star as well. That's good enough for me. They're loading up then here for the Oaks. Let us hand over to the commentator.
Gold Wand. That's it. Lined up. And they're off and racing for the Investec Oaks, a mile and a half and uphill through the first five and a half furlongs, and Passion in the dark blue jacket on the inside and Tiempo Vuela the outsider, these two going on, and it looks a strong gallop in the early stages. Queen Daenerys in the red jacket and Barani Star driving up her inside. Frankly Darling is back in fifth alongside market rival, the favourite Love, and then Gold One and Ennis Diamond is the back marker. So Tiempo Vuela, the stable companion of Frankly Darling, looking as though she's going to try and make stamina really count here as they continue to climb through these early stages. Passion is a close second, one of the three Aidan O'Brien runners, and they have built up a lead now of a good six or seven lengths over Barani Star and then Queen Daenerys. Frankly Darling and Love both well off this gallop, followed by out the back Ennis Diamond and Gold Wand. Still climbing now. They've raced past the mile marker and on towards the seven furlongs point. And the two leaders are further clear. A good 10 lengths clear now. Tiempo Vuela is joined on the outside by Passion. They're going to fall right back to the field in the home straight, but they're taking them along at a really blistering pace. The others are rather ignoring them, though. Barani Star is in third place, followed by Queen Daenerys, and then Love on the outside of Ennis Diamond, Frankly Darling, and Gold Wand is at the back of the field. So well and truly strung out as they begin the run down the hill towards Tattenham Corner, and approaching the five furlong marker in the Investec Oaks, and it's Passion on the outside of Tiempo Vuela who's coming under pressure. They're still 10 or 12 lengths clear of Ennis Diamond now going into third, then Barani Star, Queen Daenerys. Love is miles behind, even further behind is Frankly Darling, and then Gold Wand as they head now round Tattenham Corner and into the home straight. It's Passion beginning to fight off Tiempo Vuela, but they are coming back to the field. Ennis Diamond is a clear third. Love with the big white blaze is moving through quite smoothly, followed by Barani Star. Frankie is at work on Frankly Darling, but she's staying on down the outside as Love comes through the head stable companion Ennis Diamond. Frankly Darling charging down the outside, but Love has got three or four lengths just drifting across down the camber towards the inside running rail. Love, the 1,000 guineas winner, she's well clear. She's gone six or seven lengths clear of Ennis Diamond in second. No impression from Frankly Darling, and Love comes right away, galloping clear in tremendous style to win the Oaks. Love and Ryan Moore. Ennis Diamond second, a 1-2 for Aidan O'Brien. Frankly Darling never landing a blow in third, and they were clear then of Passion and Queen Daenerys.
Wow, just wow.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
And Frosted is coming with giant strides on the far outside. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, and again, racing across the pond, as it were, this morning with some Epsom action, and it was the Logicals there in the Epsom Oaks, 5-2-3, the big favorite from Aidan O'Brien. Then the other Aidan O'Brien horse that looked kind of interesting, the number two, snuck in the second spot at 6-1, and the second favorite, Frankly Darling, third, and it looks like they had placed the seven horse in the fourth position, so 5-2-3-7. As I say, kind of logical there. I guess the other Aidan O'Brien at 6-1 might juice up the exact a touch in there. Coming up a little bit later on, the Epsom Derby. And as I promised before the break, our friend Brian Addo joins us now. And I know doing the Breeders' Notes every year, he watches some of the foreign racing. So I thought maybe we'd touch on the Derby coming up a little bit later on, but also some other topics as well, as next week we'll be up in Saratoga. Kicking things off, I think, next Friday in the morning. Brian and I with the handicapper support and whatnot. Brian, good morning.
Getting the band back together, Jeff. Good morning. Yeah. Exciting times. I can't wait. Really looking forward to it. Going to be a different vibe, different feel. First of all, love spectacular in the Oaks there. Man, what a devastating performance. She looks like a real, real nice filly for Aidan O'Brien. So that was cool to see, but front and center here, Seth. What do we got? We are 12 days away from Saratoga, so it's going to be different. It's going to be weird, but I think the racing is going to be great. I think the betting handle will be through the roof. I just saw earlier Monmouth opened yesterday. They got, I think it was 3.6 million on six races, so they're going to be firing up here. There's no doubt about it. A lot of people have talked. You know, why even bother? Well, I think we're going to see the betting handle. It's going to be a very obvious reason why they're here.
Yeah, and I don't know whether I've addressed that on here, actually, but you're exactly right. There was some conversation within the past couple of months. Gee, if they're not going to allow fans, why not just stay down at Belmont? And there are, I suppose, arguments to be made there from maybe owners and trainers' side, the expense of coming up and whatnot. But I think overall, the formula for Naira and looking at the difference in handle, there is, regardless of if you're watching on TV or not, there's a certain cachet to Saratoga that is going to drive the handle. And I think that's what made the difference on the decision. And I think you're exactly right. When we look at the handle figures, I think we will know exactly why they came up here.
Yeah, I assume you get the press notes, and sometimes back in, I forget when, but they sent out a release and they said something to the effect of they expect a 40 to 50% boost in handle from if it would be at Belmont. So it's obvious that, you're right, it's the cachet. It's just the simple word Saratoga is going to bring a lot of, my mom used to always like to say the once-a-year people at church on Christmas kind of thing. Well, Saratoga brings that out. You know, a lot of people that just play during Saratoga, and they're in the loop during Saratoga. So I'm looking forward to it, Seth. And You know, and there's no guarantee they won't be able to get some people inside the gates at some point. It's a long meet. Just because they're not going to be there on Thursday, July 17th, doesn't mean they can't be there on, you know, Wednesday, August 20th or what have you. So we'll see. I think that's very much a work in progress.
Yeah, I totally agree. We'll open with no fans, but it wouldn't surprise me if that changes as things go along. And watching some of the other tracks and seeing who makes it work with protocols for limited fans, I think it's certainly a possibility. All right, I mentioned at the top, you know, you do the Breeders' Cup notes, I have for the past few years, and so you watch some of the foreign racing. We just saw the Oaks with a couple of runners going out and trying to take them all away. But then getting caught late, and as you say, a nice performance by Aiden O'Brien's Love. That one with eight starts under the belt coming into today, but boy, to demonstrate how different racing is over there, most of the field very lightly raced and going the mile and a half in the Oaks, and things one race away. We're still we're coming up to the fifth race at Epsom, but the sixth race at Epsom is the Derby. Again, a mile and a half on the grass for the three-year-old males. Field of 16 scheduled, and boy, they are just very lightly raced as compared to what we expect over here for the Triple Crown. I mean, these days over here, they're lightly raced as compared to when I was a kid, but you don't look at horses coming into the Triple Crown with a couple of starts under their belt like a few of these have in the Derby this afternoon over at Epsom. But interesting field. English King will probably take some of the action. Frankie Dettori on board, and that one, two wins in three career starts. I was talking to Mike Callahan, our colleague here, yesterday. He kind of liked Russian Empire, Emperor coming off the win at Royal Ascot a few weeks ago. Again, a nice field of 16 scheduled. Do you have any thoughts on the Derby?
Well, it's an interesting race in that you get the Guineas winner, Kamenko, trying to get the mile and a half. And that is just a big ask from going from the mile at Newmarket, you know, the demanding rally mile at Newmarket to now try to get a mile and a half. And, you know, he's kind of like a lukewarm favorite. I don't think this is, at least right now, will not go down as a great Derby, but I would be a little against him. He's a dual Group 1 winner, but I don't know if he can see out a mile and a half. It's a big ask, and I kind of think he's just basically a default, de facto favorite in this race. English King is a proven stayer, and he's probably the horse to beat. The O'Brien horses, and he's going for his eighth Derby, which would set a record. He's tied with three others at seven. The Coolmore contingent is not that this is not the A team, or if it is the A team, they are not a typical A squad from O'Brien. He's kind of trying to overwhelm the race with numbers. Russian Emperor is the best of the group, as Mike you know alluded to and certainly knows. Mike does a good job. Mike did a really nice job at Royal Ascot this year. You know, this is a mile and a half horse at Royal Ascot. So, you know, he's going to be the stayer of the group. Mogul is certainly in the mix. He's got Vatican City that'll take a little support too. Mogul's kind of, you know, getting a little bit of hype. Ryan Moore is riding, and certainly he's the guy for O'Brien. So I'll tell you what, Seth, if it's, you know, Mike mentioned Russian Emperor. He's trading at about 6-1, Anthony Post over there. You know, I would look for value. I think English King's the horse to beat. I would fade Kamenko, but it's definitely a Derby where you're allowed to kind of go price shopping a little bit. Even a horse like Highland Chief, it seems to be the hot horse. He was, you know, in the 30 range, and now I'm looking now, he's trading around 14-1, so he's attracting some support. Too. I do think it's a wide open race that could go any number of different ways. And looking for value, to me, is the way to play it.
As I'm looking at the field, you know, over the years, Saratoga, Jonathan Shepherd with the Augustan runners, I may have to take a little shot with Wortherly. It's George Strawbridge, so it has my connection there. John Gosden trains. But as I noted earlier, talk about lightly raced, comes off the career maiden victory, the debut maiden victory. So second career start, 30-1 on the line, and I would expect that to hold up or go up. I may have to put a couple of bucks on Wortherly.
you know, it's funny you mention that because the silks stick out. You've got Prince Khalid, Judmont Farm with emissary, excuse me, at 25. Wortley's trading at 20 right now, so he is attracting a little support. And you hit on it too, Seth. It's such a different way of business over there. You know, a lot of horses running the guineas off no prep. Their seasonal debut. So now you've got horses here stepping up as well. It's just a different way they go about things over there. Whereas here, we prep to a race. They run in the race. So it's a very different way they do things over there.
Yeah, there's no question about it when you look at the PPs. As I say, you pay attention to the European races quite a bit, but also the three-year-old races. You do a great job doing some commentary and previews of some of the three-year-old stakes over on Teresa Gennaro's website, Brooklyn Backstretch. And so I have to ask what you thought of the Belmont a couple of weeks ago. We were lucky enough to sit in with the Saratoga folks at Pinellas in Saratoga. That was a lot of fun to be there and interview some of the partners during the afternoon and then after the race, and Jack Knowlton as well. But 'tis the law. At this point, particularly with the defections leading into the Belmont Stake, he going into the race, he was clearly the three-year-old leader, and coming out of the race, he's clearly the three-year-old leader. But what were your thoughts on 'tis the law and the Belmont?
I mean, like, why wouldn't 'tis the law win the Triple Crown? I mean, he's absolutely awesome, Seth. I thought he couldn't. It might sound a little silly, and it's always easy after the fact, but I told a friend, like a once-a-year kind of friend, I'm like, this horse should pay $2.30. I think he paid $3.60, so to me it was a giant overlay. He's awesome. I love it. I think it's great. I mean, it's just great for those guys. It's great for New York. It's great for the New York-bred program. He's a superstar of a horse in a trained by an expert horseman in a year where attrition is played an even bigger role than it normally does. And I just honestly, Seth, I don't know why he wouldn't win the Triple Crown if he's in the starting gate for all those races, because he's that good. The rest of them are not. I have a lot of respect for Honor AP and John Sheriffs, and he'll bring him up the right way. But to me, other than him, there's no one that is the law worthy right now, in my estimation.
That would be great for a number of reasons. As you said, great for the New York bred program. That'll be a lot of fun. And great that a group like Saratoga has a horse like this, because as we were at Pinellas, we were talking, these are just a lot of locals and just racing fans, and they jumped in. And I think they're hoping, being part of Jack's partnership, Saratoga, you're hoping, hey, let's get a New York bred stakes winner. You know, let's get somebody who wins, you know, the commentator or something like that. And then you'll wind up with a horse like this. And I also tossed in, as compared to Funny Side back in 2003, that horse was a gelding. This one isn't. They've already gotten two pots of gold at the end of the rainbow with 'tis the law.
Yeah, and I never saw the purchase. I never saw what he was sold to stud for, but I would assume, I can almost guarantee, that whatever that number was, that I'm sure was a very healthy one, he's got a nice pedigree. I'm sure it had a contingency that if, God forbid, he wins the Triple Crown, you're sending a few more dollars our way. So, that was cool to see. And, you know, you mentioned those guys, and they're fun guys, and they know how to have a good time. And, you know, they got hit by lightning once with Funny Side, and here they are right back to battle again. And it's just, it's remarkable. I think it's great. I'm a big fan of the horse. I've been a big fan of him from day one. I can remember putting a trip note in my stable mail when he went on debut, and it said, "Let the Funny Side comparisons begin," because he was that good. And I remember watching with my good buddy Wayne. We were at Keeneland when he won the Champagne, and we kind of looked at each other and threw some four-letter words out there after he won the Champagne, like, "What the heck was that? Holy cow!" So, you know, it's great to see. His form is impeccable. Obviously, his one loss was on an off track, but right now, you know, to me, Seth, he is absolute hell to pay in the Derby, and hopefully the Travers as well, it sounds like. And you mentioned, well, I can segue into Cezanne. He's not beating him. I know that.
Yeah, we'll pull up the replay of this from last Thursday. This was out at La Salle. Field of five, Cezanne, and he's been a buzz horse right along. Why? He attracted $3.6 million at the FASIC sale last March down at Gulfstream, the two-year-old sale. $3.65 million. Tabor, Magner and Company, and Bob Baffert. The career debut on June 6th was a nice win, but I said it was not eye-popping. He got a 90 buyer from that. We have the replay from Thursday where this is his second career start. He's the number five horse. Boy, the race call, he had him, he's pulling away as his burst, and the chart march, he winds up a length and three quarters. So he doesn't, at 10 cents to the dollar, he does not necessarily dominate this field. He wins the way he should, and I guess you can say wins nicely, but it was an 85 buyer. I'm with you. I mean, I don't know whether Sakatoga has to be looking over their shoulder at Cezanne at this point, at least through the first two starts of the career.
Yeah, and you read kind of between the lines a little bit. Baffert said after his debut, and I thought his debut did nothing for me, at least. And, you know, Baffert said something like, well, he's heavy, I'm training him in, and he did nothing for me the other day either. I think you hit on it with the purchase. Cost $110,000, and he was trained by, I'm just trying to think of a run-of-the-mill guy out there. We would, you know, nobody would be talking about Cezanne, but Bob gets the horse of a lifetime every other day. So you have to talk about it. And I thought it was interesting after the win. I don't know if you saw or not. He said something to the effect of, I'll look for a small stakes out of town. So it wasn't like he's, you know, rushing into the Travers or the Haskell. And that in and of itself to me said, you know, maybe Bob is thinking a little more level-headed. And obviously he's got other horses for the Haskell and things like that. But I thought it was somewhat interesting that, you know, I'll look for a small stakes out of town. So it will be interesting to see. I think a lot of people, they got to reality a little bit too off the race the other day, so it'll be interesting. I did not see the figure he earned. It clearly they did basically just rode a race for him, and like you said, he did it the right way. He was pretty geared down at the end, but I don't think he made a lot of friends the other day.
Yeah, the buyer was an 85, so
85. Then yeah. I did not see that. Okay,
I just checked on Twitter before we went on, and Jay Privman, he had an 85 in Creed in New York the same day. He had an 87, and Creed looked
okay.
Yeah,
Creed is another horse that, I mean. My buddy John Panagot and Bob LaPenta, their horse ran 25 lengths better than Creed in that race. Sir Mr. Winston, I believe, is his name.
Oh,
Creed,
yes.
That horse ran his eyeballs out not to win, while Creed's a nice horse. I'm not downplaying Creed, but in his two races, he literally could not lose. So the setup that Creed got, so he's a horse I would be very leery against when he presumably, I would think, steps up Peter Pan, maybe. I don't know if that's too quick. Probably too quick. I think that might be opening day. But I'm sure Shug has big plans for him, and rightfully so. He's a nice horse. But he's got to win a race without having it handed to him. And he was all out the other day to do it. Whereas Sir Winston, boy, he deserved to win that race the other day.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the three-year-old scene plays out over the summer and what the Travers brings, and then Kentucky Derby in October, the Preakness. I think the reconfigured Triple Crown is going to be very interesting this year. But, yeah, at this point, Tis the Law has a little bit of a stranglehold on the division.
And also, Seth, just quickly, and we can talk Belmont too today, but the Los Al Derby is a nice one, and Bob's got another horse of a lifetime out there, the maiden winner. So the name escapes me, but I think an Odoro looks good out there to me today. But it's only a field of five, but it's a nice race. So there's Uncle Chuck.
Yes, yeah, you got it, Uncle Chuck.
Okay, so he looks like a real talent. So that's actually a good race out there. 1,000 words trying to get back on the beam for Baffert. So you know, watch that one today. And
Did you last week by any chance? And I don't think you're a fan of the bet necessarily. Not negative on it. It's just not. Did you jump in the future pool at all? Because I jumped in. All others went off at 8-1, and I guess people are thinking, oh, it's late. So, but I don't think it is late. We're 2 months away. And I said last week, I think my all others might wind up having 10 horses on it by the time they get 2 months away the first Saturday in September. I thought all others at 8-1 offered a lot of value last week.
I didn't play, but I didn't know that. But I agree with you wholeheartedly because you're right. It's not a normal year. And let's just be honest, the Derby is at the time was over two months away. And as you know, Seth, I mean, in horse racing, that's 20 years away for Pete's sake. So a lot can happen. And not only injury wise, but we're going to see, you know, horses we've never even heard of that are going to jump up and blow up and run huge, and all of a sudden they're on the fast track. So that is a lot of value, actually, Seth, on the literally the worst bet there is in racing. When you never get any value, that is a lot of value.
Yeah, I was really surprised because, again, I'm only assuming people are thinking, well, it's late because normally, but if this was the normal 2 months out, you would not get 8-1 on the all others. Just before we let you go, you mentioned the card today. Any thoughts in the Met Mile? We just talked to David Aragon, and he and I were both kind of looking at Vekoma. You know, it's maybe a little bit of a quick turnaround for Vekoma, but boy, he just seems to be in such good form right now. McKenzie, Code of Honor, Mr. Freeze, all a little bit interesting. But did you have any thoughts in the Met Mile?
Well, Vekoma's clearly the now horse, right? I mean, he has just been devastating in his two races. The Carter was awesome. I know it was on a muddy track. I like Vekoma today. I like him a lot. Code of Honor in second. I'm against McKenzie. He can beat me. He really doesn't do much for me. I thought his race last time was pretty blah. I'm not a fan. He doesn't really like to win races either. And he probably will go favorite. Everybody saw his trip in this race last year when he was best. There's no doubt about it. But I'm against him today. There's a horse I like a lot today that, you know, you're not going to get any price. Don't get me wrong. But I think value proposition for Chad might be like his next absolute superstar. I thought his comeback in the optional claimer at Belmont was just kind of like tipped his pan. And I think he's going to be a superstar. I like him today. I believe it's in the poker. Look at Hawkish underneath at a price. I thought he ran stinky good last time, and he's going to be a nice price. Chad's got three of them in there. Value Valid Point is the one where, you know, he'll get bet. But I think Hawkish at a price can run underneath. It's just a really, really good card today. The Manhattan. I don't have a big opinion in the Manhattan. I guess in still regard, it's best. I think Rock Emperor stretching out is interesting. That looks like a little bit more of a spread race for me, but I'm excited to see the Met Mile. I think it's, to me, that's one of my favorite races, and I think it delivers today in a big way. Shug's been pointing to this race with Code of Honor. You know, he's going to run a cracker today. I thought his comeback was really, really sharp in a race he didn't really have to win, didn't really care about winning. He's an exciting newly minted four-year-old, and I think him and Vekoma will throw it down today, and I'm against McKenzie.
Yes, it looks like a very, very good card down at Belmont this afternoon. Really, ever since going back 4 weeks or so, there was one weekend that was a little bit of a lull, but racing has come back otherwise with a large gallop, as it were, with some really nice stakes weekends, and this is included in and amongst that bunch. We talked with Chris Obesinski earlier. Delaware has a nice stakes card today also, and you mentioned out at La Salle, the La Salle Derby, so really nice stakes on the card. And next week, again, before we let you go, going to be talking about the action live from Saratoga. We'll do a little handicapper support action Friday and then kind of kick into a weekend schedule. Of course, the track doesn't open up until the middle of the next week, but we will be live from Clare Court. So, Brian, looking forward to it.
I can't wait, Seth. We'll be front and center up there, you and I. Doubleheader duty, I believe, Friday and Saturday. And maybe we'll hopefully have a guest on or two. And it's going to be different, but that does not mean it's not going to be great and exciting. So, really looking forward to it. Happy 4th of July to you, to everybody else out there. Be safe, have fun, Nice day, too. So enjoy it. And, yes, Seth, I will see you soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. Brian Addo. And, again, we will be firing up the normal Saturday schedule starting – or normal weekend schedule starting next week, but also have a little Friday action kicking things off a little bit early, too, and we'll keep you alerted to that as the week goes along. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. Thanks to Brian. Thanks a little bit earlier to David Aragona. Thanks also to Chris Sobosinski for joining us. Again, great stakes action all across the country. So stay tuned here to the network because we'll be covering it as well live in the afternoon. I'm going to be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live on this Saturday afternoon. Do want to alert you, if you'd like to join the fun, go to CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com. Click on the join or the sign-up link. Fill out the appropriate information. And you can take advantage of the sign-up bonus for July. Deposit $200 into your account, and as soon as you bet double that initial deposit, the initial deposit amount is refunded to your account. So some free money to play with if you are signing up for a new account. But we'd love to have you on board. Don't forget, with no fans up at Saratoga, you will want an account because you'll want to be playing. And if you don't yet have an account, you sign up to Capital OTB Bet. You can play on your phone, your tablet. You can play along on the computer. But you'll be able to play all season long at Saratoga, fans or no fans. Also keep in mind that the parlors are open now. Currently, Wednesday through Sunday for the parlors here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We are 11 to 7. At the other branches, they're noon to 7. But Wednesday through Sunday, all the branches are open. A bunch of the easy bets are open, too. The easiest way to find out if your branch or your easy bet is open is to go to the front page of CapitalOTB.com. There's a list there of the easy bets that are currently open, and we'd love to have you swing by. Stop down here at the Racebook. Go to your local branch and enjoy the action because, again, it is kind of fired up over the past month or so, and things are pretty much back to, well, normal, as normal as it can be. But as far as watching and wagering, you know, the tracks, most of them don't have fans. That's a little bit different. But as far as watching and wagering, Monmouth opened yesterday, and things are kind of back to normal. I read within the past day or so, mid to later part of July, it sounds like, for Finger Lakes, just because of the current rules and whatnot. But as I say, otherwise, it seems like pretty much every place is up and running right now with some great racing. So hopefully you're on board. And again, back in an hour and a half or so to take a look at this Saturday action right here on the network. So I'll wrap it up for Racing Across America on a Saturday morning. Be back in about a half an hour with an hour and a half with OTB Live for Saturday afternoon. We will see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.